Welcome to the Speak and Flow podcast, dear listeners. I am so thrilled to have our esteemed guest today, Kimi Hirutsu Zimski. She's a founder of Culture by Choice and Productivity by Design. She's an expert in project management. And so we can learn so much from her. Welcome, Kimi. Glad you're here.
Thank you, Melinda. This is wonderful. Among
Thank
other things, I think it's terrific that you're focusing on executive communication because that's such a big key.
I can't wait to dive in. You focus on product management project. Actually, tell me a little bit more about what you do. Tell the audience so they get some background and context.
Well, I'm a project manager, and like most of us, I fell into it. Come from a technical background, grew up with computers in a different way than some of the generations now have. The computers and I were getting mature at the same time. But as a result, when you become really good at what you do and you get promoted, that's when you find out, excuse me, but they didn't mention anything in the programming class about how to communicate with actual people instead of modules. So that's what we focus on. We focus on giving our technical colleagues a little bit of a boost in areas that they've got a great deal of potential for wonderful skill levels in it. They just didn't have the formal training or the academic training in it because they were focused on the things that got them to the promotion into leadership to begin with, their technical skills.
And that is why I'm so excited to, because we're mirroring leadership development, project management with, people out there are experts in their fields. And yet having the right leadership, having the right communication skills are so essential. And so I can't wait to dive in. So what I found really interesting about what you do is you have seven key success parameters for project management. And so can you tell us more about that?
These are parameters that, if they're within the organization's culture, can really raise your opportunity for project success. And what's important about this, from the perspective of an executive communications perspective, is this: it has to be a daily choice to reinforce these kind of cultural parameters. That's what we mean by culture by choice. A culture is going to develop whether you want it to develop in the direction you want it to or not. Now, that's going to be dependent on every single choice you make with every single person that you deal with. So your leadership becomes amazingly critical. And we start out with things like clear definition, ownership, which is, a concept everybody tends to buy into without being very clear about what they mean. Remembering who we're doing this work for. We're not doing it for ourselves. We're doing it for our clients or our end users. Collaborative spirit is probably one of the biggest areas where it feeds into executive communications. And interdependency. If you don't understand where all of the pieces fit together, you can't help your people navigate that. And be absolutely rigorous about quality. You can put something out, and you and I have both seen it. We, of course, would never do that, but you could put something out really, really quickly. But is it something you're going to be proud of finding your name on in 5 years or not? And last but not least, all of those things help you manage risk a lot better. But in particular, I think collaborative spirit is the one that is a lead by example form of executive communication.
It's so interesting because I just was talking to a company owner who hired a CFO about 6 or 7 years ago. The CFO was highly intelligent, like an action-oriented person, and told this group of people, his who he had probably I don't know how many direct reports, 50, but he beat them up. He was really tough.
Ooh.
And nobody liked it. The team members didn't like it, but he got stuff done. Fast forward, he just left, and now they hired a new CFO, completely different, collaborator, wants to build the team, wants to build people together, and then slower. So they don't get as much done. So I asked this business owner, I said, do you see a bit a difference in the results in terms of business sense, in terms of business? But he like monetarily, bottom line, he said, I'm not sure yet, but I know. He goes, I don't think so. Yeah, I mean, he knows that the people are so much happier doing their work. And I think in the long run, so he did say this, in the long run, it's going to produce better results. Maybe in the short run, not so much, but then you're, well, you know, tell me more about that. What do you think?
Well, I think part of the basis of this is that when people say we want you to collaborate, they're not actually always sure about what they're expressing. For some people, a collaborative environment means everybody has a vote. For other people, a collaborative environment is, look, I carry the heavy load and I want everybody's input. Understand, however, I will be the one who will ultimately make the last decision. Well, if you can't make clear to the people that you're working with which definition you're working from, then each person, when you hear something, you think, oh, well, of course they're talking about my definition of collaborative.
Makes sense. That makes sense.
So the other thing is I think your business owner client is very intelligent about this because the previous executive was creating an environment that was rife for turnover. And the problem is that's 300% of a person's annual salary is the cost that the business bears when they lose someone who's been around for maybe 2 or 3 years. And that's a huge amount of money.
That's a huge
So,
amount of
yeah,
money.
long term, it's going to show as productive. Short term, what you're doing is you're reinforcing that you, as a business owner, you're walking your talk. You're saying, you know what? This is so important. I'm willing to put my skin in the game as well. And I am going to be the defender of perhaps a little slower ramp up for results. But long term, the business is going to be healthier because the people are going to be more willing to commit to it. All that talk about engagement, that's nothing new.
No, and I loved how you clarified what does collaboration mean, and we're going to go into what does executive communication mean to you. But just touching on collaboration can mean so many different things to different people, and that's part of executive communication, I think, is being clear. Even if you just have a that word, there can mean a lot of different things. So to take the time to define that for you, for your team, so that people are clear. Yes, we're going to collaborate in this project. However, I'm going to be the final decision maker. Or you go into the project and say, hey, I want everybody to vote on this as a collaboration method. And so which one is it for you and the team? What makes
You
sense
know,
for the project? Yeah.
and the funny thing is that people will say, well, oh, no, I shouldn't do that. I'm going to come across as a little bit of a dictator. Or I had one person say, I have a feeling I'm going to come across as a very dictatorial person. I said, well, one, you are a very forceful and decisive individual. So that's just going to be you. Okay. Own it, live it. And I'm glad you understand that's how you come off. However, people are going to be a lot more willing to work with you at your level of collaboration if they understand that that's what you're probably going to do. Now, as you see how incredibly productive your people are when you demonstrate your willingness to actually behave in the manner you're asking them to behave in, it's going to be a whole lot easier for you to give up some of that much vaunted control, because results are it. The results are going to be the final proof, and you're going to get better results over the long term. And I don't mean decades. I don't even mean years. Sometimes it only takes one project over, say, 8 weeks, and you'll see a visible difference in the level of productivity and efficiency, not just in, thank heavens, less retesting, because we were all actually talking to each other. Thank heavens, better requirements definition, because wow, we made it a point to collaborate with our client, not tell them that's a stupid thing to ask for or say it in our minds, and not ask them questions and then ignore the possibility that the question might not have been one they can answer because we weren't clear in the way we phrased it. So, this is not, when people say communication, I think they forget that the way you behave, what you reward, and what you note, that communicates volumes. And it's much more powerful than anything you're going to say ever.
It reminds me of this analogy of just in regards to parenting, because we think we're gonna tell our child what to do. You have to do this, you have to do this. And actually, the best way to teach your children is how you behave. Like,
Oh, absolutely. Now, I'm a big country western fan, which I've had to defend for most of my life. But there's a song where a father hits, the stoplight seems to come. It goes straight from green to red, and he says a four letter, and he's muttering under his breath. And then he hears his 4-year-old in the back seat, who's had his McNuggets thrown all over him, say a four letter word. And I think it was my 4-year-old said a four letter word, and I was concerned. And when he asks the kid, "Well, where'd you learn that?" He says, "Oh, I want to be just like you, Daddy. I'm going to eat all my vegetables so I can be big and strong and hold Mama's hand, and I'm going to be just like you." And the father kind of hits his knees and says, "Oh my God, can you help me be a slightly, better than I am, because I had no idea."
I mean, it's
And
so true. It's so true. And you, I mean, you've worked at different businesses and you can see the different cultures within these companies. And even if you're a team leader, what you say, how you behave just trickles down, whether it's conscious or subconscious. Like it just is. Like you said, it's
it
either
is.
you're developing a culture by choice or you're not, if it's not a choice, you're just developing a culture. And so it behooves you to be more understanding or aware
If you
about
think about it,
it's all.
the definition of culture for most working organizations is a commonly accepted set of behaviors and expectations, which means the minute you start interacting with somebody, you're starting to build a culture. It may only have two people in it, but you're already starting to build a sense of what can I expect from somebody. So when you and I first started interacting, I knew from the very beginning I could expect a thorough, thoughtful
Oh, thank
person
you.
to be working with. And so the thing is that also encourages, I pay a little bit more attention to being a little bit more thorough, a little bit more thoughtful when I'm with people that I know value those things. And I don't think that's because I'm a unicorn. I think that's because I'm just aware that that's a way that I accept leadership from other people because of all the work and study that I've done. I've learned that that's the way people accept leadership. They look for ways that you can help them be better.
And you obviously you've done the work. You exude so much executive presence, communication, your website. I loved your story. You're a storyteller. And so I'm curious, how have you always had this confidence, this presence?
I'm going to tell you a quick story. I almost got fired from my very first big corporate job. And part of it was cultural because I was hired in. I was the youngest person in the room by more than 15 years. I was the only one of three women on a 15-person team. And I was the only person that didn't have a college degree yet. And after about 6 weeks, my new boss pulled me aside, sat me down, and he said, "Kimi, I would really like to keep you."
Oh gosh.
He said, "The thing is, when you accept a job from somebody, you make a deal. You basically make a contract. We give you money, you give us intelligence, judgment, and experience. I haven't heard a peep out of you in our staff meetings for nearly 5 weeks. We're not getting our side of the bargain."
Wow.
He said, "Now, I can tell you've got bonds to
Right.
these topics." He said, "And I did a little research. I understand you were raised by your grandparents in a fairly traditional manner." And I said, "Yes, I was." He said, "All right. Here's the thing. I want you to go home and ask your grandfather what he would think of it if he were to learn that you had made a contract, a deal,
Oh, wow.
but you weren't delivering your end of it." He said,
That's tough.
"We let you in because we believe you're equal to us. So I appreciate you're trying to be polite. But to be blunt, I'm not paying you to be polite. I'm paying you to be a professional."
Wow. That gave me
Now,
chills.
I can tell that story now, but I gotta tell you, I went home and I had a really good cry and about a quart of chocolate ice cream.
Wow, that was a good, I mean, that's really, that's direct, that hits home. Yeah, I would have had a quart of chocolate ice cream as well.
Now, Larry did his homework and he thought he knew why.
Yeah.
Because we come from multiple different cultures. I'm a fourth generation Californian, not just a woman of Japanese ancestry. But you have to remember, all of us belong to multiple cultures. We belong to the cultures of our schooling, our professions, the kinds of companies we choose to work for, the kinds of bosses we choose to emulate. All of those different relationships are mini cultures that make up our cultural persona. That's why I tell people it's culture by choice. How you deal with a person establishes every single choice.
And who you work with, right? How you deal with them, who you bring in. Yeah.
I think that's what we mean when we say, "Well, I'd like you to interview with the rest of the team so we make sure that it's the good fit." Fit.
Right. So,
Okay.
Right. And how did you overcome that ch challenge of stop, being more professional, in his words?
And less quiet.
Yeah.
One of the things I did was I asked him for help. I said, "All right, would you do me a favor?" I said, "At any point in time, if you think I'm about to say something, but you see me hesitate, would you just tap your glasses?"
I love it.
And Larry said, "Well, they're going to be cattywampus on my face by the end of the first staff meeting, but we'll do it." I said, "Okay." And then I said, "Would you also help me find someone, another woman in this district that I can call on for advice every once in a while?" I said, "I really appreciate what you said. And I think I need to also expand my mentors and advisors group.
Right.
So, Yeah,
It's a journey.
have
It's a journey, right? To have someone hold you accountable, to have a mentor, to have someone to talk to, work through the different challenges, resistance, obstacles.
So there is one other thing that I found. We all have the ability to enhance our strengths in our different roles in our life. And you spoke to parenting, for example. When you are in your parent role, you bring out different kinds of strengths. Well, when I was on stage, you couldn't touch me. I own that stage, all 5'2" of me. And Larry said, so this is your stage on a professional level. He said, I want you to borrow some of that. And so I was incredibly blessed to have mentors and advisors, and some of my very first managers that led me say, okay, use this, use what you know from here, use what you do from there. And, if you have to, put it on like a jacket when you come into the office. And when you do that, you start to develop habits of behavior and carriage and communications that convey to other people, I'm saying this because I believe it to be the best course of action. I'm saying this because I believe it to be true. And I'm asking questions not because I don't know, but because I'm pretty sure you have something to contribute. And as long as you're consistent in that, you will learn to be the kind of person that you wouldn't mind following. I'm still working on that, by the way.
Well, but that sounded
You know.
great because you're saying what you believe, you're saying what you want to own, but then you're also asking questions.
Oh, you've got to.
And I also hear that you had different mentors, different people telling you, asking you or suggesting different things, trying on one or two different skill sets. And owning them and stepping into them so that you can own that stage or own wherever you're going as a leader, the different types of skills that you've built over time.
And I think it's important because everybody comes to their first, quote, formal leadership role with a whole life experience. It's not just who you are in the office, it's who you are in your community. If you have an athletic background, it's who you are on the field.
Bring that in.
So we're abs see, that's it.
Bring it in.
But similar to what you did, Melinda, in terms of, okay, let me do a little bit of homework. Let me see if I can learn a little bit about this person. You hired our mutual wonderful admin, Vicky. I'm sure you kind of did a little research and said, all right, what kind of work has she done? So I know where her strengths are going to compromise and where her ranks might make up for places where, okay, I could do it, but I'm not going to be as good at it as you are. You know, those kinds of things. If you're managing, you're managing assets and resources. If you're leading, you're dealing with people. So get to know them. They're not just a name badge or an employee number
Oh my
or a
gosh.
job description.
So true. If you just get to know them, understand how you affect them, get to know them, that will just help them speed up any initiative, project, fast, or at least with more success, at least with more of a holistic perspective.
Well, and you can't help people grow to be their best if you know absolutely nothing about who they are to begin with. You know, I will say though, in the process of doing that, you might find some interesting experiences. I had no idea you could cure a ham with Coca-Cola. But in getting to know one of my new technology specialists, working with a government agency, I said, so what do you do in your free time? And He proceeded to explain to me how you can cure a ham with Coca-Cola.
That's what he does. That's so funny.
And I said, "Okay, then." He goes, "Now you look like one of those, steak people, prawn people." I said, "I'll tell you." I said, "Well, no. I'll take you up on that challenge. You bring some of that into the office. I'll bring my favorite dish. Hell, we'll make it a potluck and let's see what we've got." And just by having that conversation and being willing, although scared, to try Coca-Cola cured ham. He and his colleagues, none of whom knew me beyond the fact that I just walked in the door, suddenly looked at me as a person when I was trying to learn about them as people. And so that's the bonus that you get, by the way. And it's a great compliment when they're willing to look at you and see something other than that pesky title or, "Oh my God, she's gonna hurt me." Kind of thing. So fear is a huge problem.
And I think it speaks volumes of your own leadership, authenticity, ability to connect. I think that speaks volumes because they want to get to know you. They want to get to know all the parts of you, right? So there's, I think, leaders that want to walk around and I know it all, or I'm the expert, and then they just talk about that part, which is important. So your expertise, your knowledge, your experience, I think it just makes you more human when you can open up different aspects of you, and then that way you can connect with other people, and it's just a deeper connection. And who doesn't want that? Like, if you want to be known as a memorable leader, it's about that deeper connection.
And it's not about what you know, it's about the relationship you built with them.
Right. And it's
That's
about
what they're going to
the
remember.
humility, right? We talked about the humility, being vulnerable, being humility, having a little bit, of humility that I am a human.
So, a gentleman named Kaisi, and I'm hoping not mangling his name, I do it 5 times out of 10, wrote a book called Humbitious, where he points out in beautifully straightforward fashion that being humble doesn't mean that you have to give up your ambition or your drive. Being humble just means that you are ready to accept what you don't know.
I love it. I love it. No, just acceptance. Acceptance of what we don't
And
know.
then go out and get it from the people
Exactly,
who
from
do.
someone. Exactly. I don't want to do it all. That's okay.
So I'm kind of
Okay.
curious because this is a very powerful niche area. How did you come to realize how important it is to help people understand executive communications better?
Well, it's my own, right? My own trauma, my own chat. And I do say trauma. And I believe that we all experience it, there's no way around it as being human, whether you call it trauma, whether you call it uncomfortable experiences, passive, right? Whatever you want to call it. It could be different levels
And learn.
to learn. But then it's that blocks us when we have enough of it. It blocks us from showing our whole self. And like just what we talked about just now, I think leaders are able to show more sides of them than just their expertise, and they're not afraid of it, their acceptance of it. So, but then if we have that block of too much trauma, we don't want to show those other parts. Other people sense, I can't get, I don't know who this person really is. And so I
Yeah, it's too
really,
small.
it's a wall. There's a wall. Yeah. And then so then when, I was able to overcome that and see the difference that it helps other people make in terms of a presenter, in terms of a speaker, in terms of a leader, then that's some of this is why I do what I do, is actually just healing them whole their selves so they can be whole and allow people to accept them as a whole person.
You've created an amazing mission then,
Oh.
because you've also human. You're not just helping people grow their own capacity for executive communications. You're helping their people around them to humanize them and real and connect with them at a far deeper level. And that is so important. I mean, I'm so delighted that, and
Ew.
I'm in awe because that's a huge job you've taken
Oh,
on.
I love it. Nobody's ever asked me that in this podcast, so I really appreciate you as a guest asking me this question. So it's really, yeah, thank you so very much. Thank you so very
It's
much.
quite important.
Yeah, so,
If I was going to say, if I had to do it over again and I had a few less decades under my belt, I would be right there with you because I think that is a perspective on leadership that could too easily get lost. So
add it,
keep to it.
you can
Keep
add
to
that to what you're doing. I mean, it's already there. The whole everything, the structure, everything you're doing is already there. And I'm sure you touched on it, you talk about it in the collaboration part.
a little bit, yeah, a little bit. Yeah. No, I your wisdom in choosing the word trauma and refusing to back down from it. Because an uncomfortable situation begins, we live through it, it ends. It becomes trauma if it inhibits our future decision making. So I think that one of the powers that you have harnessed is part of what we talk about all the time when we talk about clear definition. We're saying, don't just give somebody a dictionary meaning. Help them understand the context in which you chose that phrase, that specific word. And I think you've harnessed the power of clear definition beautifully in that particular choice.
That makes a lot of sense because we have experiences, our stories, these events that create these stories, that create experiences, which then lead you to choose that specific word. So what is the background of all of that? And that is why it's important rather than just giving the word. I love that.
If there's a very short book, we used to call them commute flight reads, back in the day when so many of us commuted by plane. And it was called The Four Agreements by Don Miguel Ruiz. And the first one was be impeccable with your word. And that always struck me. So I'm a little slow to give promises because I will break my back trying to keep it. So there are promises that people have asked, and I'll find a way not to ever make it because I don't believe I'd be able to fulfill it. You know, and that is something else that your people are going to see. If you break promises to them, even small things, like, hey, isn't it my turn to bring the donuts? Say, well, if you're going to break your word about them, you know, that minor, what's going to happen when there's a lot at stake? And it's a perfectly human question to ask. I think, yeah, I think though you want to, one of the things you want to communicate as a leader, as an executive or a leader, or an executive who actually is a leader, is that you want to communicate that there's no reason to ask that question ever.
I love that. It's learning so much from you. They're learning so much from you. We do not ever want to be fall back on our own integrity and be seen as such because you can't get it back.
You can't get it back. And I
Yeah, it's
think that
hard.
most people know that. Don't you think most people know that?
They do, but I don't think they know that consciously, but they don't know subconsciously, like what are they doing without even realizing that has a powerful effect. Like they say, oh, it's just a donut. It's just donuts. That's what,
No,
yeah.
it's no big deal.
Oh, I got
I'm
sidetracked
gonna.
from other things. I get sidetracked, and so subconsciously, yeah. We can talk. So we might need to continue this conversation. I'm looking forward to
I
learning
just
more
want to
from
thank
you.
you.
And no, thank you so much. How would people get in touch with you, and learn more about you and the work that you do, or even want to start to have a conversation how they work with you?
Well, we have leadership group on Facebook, and if you were to Google KSPpartnership.com, you will find that we truly believe that you should be as straightforward as possible. So somebody said, well, why don't you take one of the P's out of KSP Partnership? And they said, well, the reason it's there is because although my godson says that he thought it meant Kimi's superpowers, it does not. KSP Partnership stands for Key Success Parameters, and it's a partnership. So we've got about three full-time partners, and Vicky, whenever I can get her, and some social media staffing and help. But primarily, we work together as partners. There's no, it's my team, it's not, that kind of thing. So when I say clear definition, I say we even bet our website name on it. Every single part of that, the company name is in there because every single part matters. So KSPpartnership.com. And if you go on to LinkedIn, I guarantee you will only find one Kimi Hirotsu Zimsky.
Love it.
And
That's
I'd be delighted to connect, but you have to say, Melinda sent me.
oh, cute. Okay.
And that
Yes.
way I'll know.
I love that. Reach out to Kimi. She's a wealth of knowledge. She just brings so much wealth of experience. And so don't hesitate. Don't hesitate. Reach out and thank you so much. And mention Melinda sent you. All right. Thank you so much, Kimi. It was so
Oh, thank you,
fun.
Melinda.
Thank
That
you.
was this was a pleasure and an honor. Thank you.
Thank you. Me too. Until I see you next time, take care.
Take care.
Awesome. Let me just. Thanks for joining the conversation today. Are you curious on how you measure up with your ability to speak in flow? Come grab my free self-assessment at speakinflow.com/assessment. This assessment only takes a couple minutes to fill out. You will get your results within 5 minutes. See how you measure up with your ability to speak in flow and an unshakable confidence. Take the assessment, click on the link in the comments, and I'll see you on the other side.